MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
iHeart Podcast Awards 2023 Podcast of the Year, Las Culturistas, with SNL's Bowen Yang and comedian Matt Rogers.
There's stuff happening in 2024 that we really need to address.
Pop culture and huge guests, like the latest episode with
Dua Lipa.
The more I think about it, the more scared and nervous I get.
Listen to the newest episode of Las Culturistas with Dua Lipa and all episodes on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Las Culturistas to start listening.
Welcome to another episode of Nerd If Ascent, y'all. How you doing? How you feeling? How you doing? It's about to be good. We feeling so good, and we want you to feel good, which is why we're doing Mental Health May. How y'all doing? How you doing? But as always, sitting across from me is the hostess with the mostest. It is Danny Fernandez. Danny, how you doing?
You know, I'm dropping these quarantine photo shoots. Really proud of myself.
Oh, yeah.
For showering, putting on makeup, and doing a photo shoot in my kitchen. Everybody was like, it was so funny because people were like, this is the best thing you've ever done. And I'm like, really? This was shot on an iPhone and like the lighting is off, but thank you.
I mean, but that's the thing, is there's something to like the grittiness, you know, like how some people, they don't want everything on pro. They're, you know, they like the amateur stuff, you know, it adds a level. And also, like, phones now are so good with the right lighting. You can almost get like a slight DSLR look to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I agree with them. They are smacking these images that you've been uploading.
I just want everyone to feel good. I hope that people have written me, but I really, and you do too. Like, we're so body positive. I just really hope people, especially as we age, just like really stepping into owning themselves. I think I made
a tweet,
and it was like, you should just decide to be hot and then just act accordingly.
Yeah.
Like, it's just something you can decide. Cause there's tons of people that tell us that we're not attractive. And it's like, okay, but I'm going to decide to be like I am. And all my friends are, like, we've just decided on it. And so I think you can just operate from that energy.
Yeah. And I agree. I think there's something to the energy of, you know, that confidence of being like, you know, I'm hot. Because who, like, really, honestly, if everyone but the person that you're into thinks you're ugly, then who cares? You know, it really, you know, when you really put it that way, you know, who cares? And, you know, it's not even worth it.
Well, I was going to say, we always talk what we're geeking out about, and I've been watching We're Here on HBO. So it follows Eureka, Bob, and Shangela from RuPaul's Drag Race as they take people and put them in drag. They also take heteronormative men who have in the past been homophobic, who are now trying to come to terms with that when they were growing up. And anyways, I mean, I can guarantee you people have told them that they're ugly. People still tell them that they're ugly. And so it's just like, it's just something that they're like, I'm hot. I know I'm hot and I've accepted it. And, you know, that's what I want to put out there. Cause I think people are like, well, it's easy for you to say. It's like, no, I have 77,000 followers. I can guarantee like at least 1,000 people have told me I'm ugly. And I can believe, no, it's true. And it's like, you know, people will be like, well, I think people don't realize that because it'll, you know, someone else might be like, well, people have told me that. I'm like, but have you had 3,000 people tell you that? Because yeah. It's kind of different. And when you can read YouTube comments of someone, you know, making fun of your face and it gets 800 likes, that'll affect anyone's head.
Oh yeah. 100%.
And so, but I highly recommend watching that. It's just so amazing to see people. It's a culture and community that's wrapped in love and acceptance. It's people of all different body sizes, all different backgrounds, just really embracing themselves. And I love when they get all done up. Like when the guys too, like the guys who are kind of like standoffish about it, they get all done up and they're like, how do you feel? And they're like, man, I feel sexy as hell. Yeah. Like they're just so feeling themselves in the makeup and the wigs. And they're just like, oh, I get why you do this. Cause you just feel so good.
Yeah.
So definitely check it out. It's on HBO. Steal someone's login if you have to.
Yeah, my geek out is very different. What I'm geeking out about is I just ordered the Criterion collection of the Shoujo era of Godzilla. And it's so big. You know, I ordered it off Criterion. And I didn't know, like I knew it was going to be in book form, but I didn't know it was going to be gigantic. So it's sitting up next to all my figures and I can't wait to just work my way through it because I did just like the other day watch King of the Monsters, Godzilla King of the Monsters, the newer American one. And you know same feels as the first one where it's like, you know, all the kaiju stuff, great, the human element, let's get rid of it, we don't need it. And it's a very Western thing, which is why you'll watch the if you watch the Japanese version, like the human element in it is very small. Unless, of course, it's like, I talked about this on the Godzilla podcast with Haley Mancini, where it's like, there's typically like two to three types of Godzilla movies, where it's like Godzilla is fighting other kaiju, and then there's Godzilla versus humanity. And the Godzilla movie, both of them kind of tries to split the difference between the two, but you can't really do that because... like those are two separate things. You know, if it's Godzilla versus humanity, then you're kind of dealing with, okay, now you have the human element, but it's also like a movie where there's a lot of loss and you're trying to cover, because Godzilla of course is a analogy for the atomic bomb. So like that's why it's always been that way. But if it's Godzilla versus the monsters, there needs to be so little human interaction and less of them like, we're going to help Godzilla out. No, you're not. These are giant monsters. But why are we so obsessed with bullets working against giant monsters? Right. Like, we just need to prove that there's a reason we're spending this much money on our military. No, it's not going to work. But anyway. Still liked it, still enjoyed it. It was a fun one. So check that out if you have. These are all things, both things that we mentioned that can be considered self-care, which is good because this month we're doing Mental Health May.
Yes, and today we are continuing with our month looking into the nerdiness that is brain science and therapy treatments as technology changes and grows. This week, we are doing TMS, which is transcranial magnetic stimulation. Yeah. It's nerdy as hell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to, like, before we even dive into this, just kind of talk about, this is something you've brought up before. This is also something that you've mentioned other folks of note have tried out. So, you know, let's talk about your relationship to it, because you actually have a personal relationship versus, you know, anyone else.
Yeah. So it's something that I did. It was recommended by my therapist and my psychiatrist. It is essentially used for treatment-resistant depression, which means that you have tried prescription medication, multiple prescription medications that have not quite worked for you. Yeah. I, having a chronic illness, am very sensitive to medication. So a lot of them, if it's like may cause side effects, for me, it will. Yeah. It's like, go ahead and put, it will cause side effects.
Yeah.
And so it's different. It's typically covered by insurance, which we're going to get into. We're going to get into what it is and how it works. But I just want to say off top, it's typically covered by insurance, but they normally require that you have had failed attempts at antidepressants, which means like I did Wellbutrin for months, it didn't work. I did Zoloft for months, it didn't work, like stuff like that. And for me, I think my insurance wanted me to have four and I had like three and I was unwilling to do another round. I'm like, I'm not going to put myself to another round just to do this. So I had the funds at the time to do 6 weeks of TMS. You go in every day. You go, it is a commitment. So I went in at least Monday through Friday, every single day in the morning, and did a round of magnetic stimulation on my head. And yes, Neil Brennan is another person who's been really vocal about it. I think we actually have a clip that we can play for people. It kind of like just talks a little bit about it.
This TMS thing, transcranial magnetic stimulation, covered by Blue Cross.
Huh.
Yeah. Ooh. So yeah, that's what like, it was really, really good. Like I, for a lot of my life, I felt like I had a, all right. Like, I had like yeah. I had like a thing, like a, it almost felt like a metal weight, like a bit of like 5 pound weight on my upper left forehead, my left. And then, so I went to this.
Whoa, dude. That sound is like an MRI sound.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It is.
Yes, it's basically the same exact magnet as an MRI.
But it's just glued to your head.
They put it on your head. It's pretty simple. The first time they measure it, they have to get to like the exact spot. There's another video where my finger is pulsing that you'll enjoy.
And what is it doing to you? Like, what's the benefit?
It's basically magnetizing and electrifying it's waking up basically dead synapses, according to them.
Really?
Yeah. So it's waking up dead synapses and
waking them up so they're dormant.
That's what they say.
We went to on that same recording with Joe Rogan. He talked about doing ketamine treatment, and we went to the same doctor, and we both did not like it. So I'm happy that it's worked for people. But TMS is something that we both have done that is really helpful. And I talked to Neil about it when I was doing it. So he's another person that has been super, super vocal about how it's helped him.
Nice, nice.
So let's talk a little bit about what exactly it is and the history of it.
Yeah.
So transcranial magnetic stimulation, it's non-invasive form of brain stimulation in which a changing magnetic field is used to cause electric current at a specific area of the brain through electromagnetic induction. It's like, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of info. A lot of words being said.
We're That reminds me of like, it sounds like Michael Scott trying to explain something in The Office.
Yeah.
Where it's just like or that scene with Ben Stiller trying to pray and meet the Fockers. Where he's like, these three things we pray to see thee more dearly. Just like you're just making up words.
You're like, what is even going on?
Yeah. We're going to get fully into that, but I did want to tackle the history of TMS.
The history is Luigi Galvani undertook research on the effects of electricity on the body in the late 18th century and laid the foundation for the field of electrophysiology. And then in the 1830s, Michael Faraday discovered that an electrical current had a corresponding magnetic field and that changing one could induce its counterpart. So they worked to directly stimulate the human brain with electricity. They started that work in the late 1800s, and then by the 1930s, Italian physicians Cerletti and Binney have developed electroconvulsive therapy, also known as ECT. ECT became widely used to treat mental illness, and ultimately it was overused. And soon it just became a panacea, and this led to backlash in the 1970s. Because I think this is when they were doing like the more like electroshock therapy stuff that was not as, I guess we'll say, thought out. Mm-hmm. But then in 1980, Merton and Morton, they had to team up just because of their name. They're like, we're Merton and Morton. We got to be a squad. So then in 1980, Merton and Morton successfully used transcranial electrical stimulation to stimulate the motor cortex. However, this process was very uncomfortable, and subsequently, Anthony T. Barker began to search for an alternative to TES. He began exploring the use of magnetic fields to alter electrical signaling within the brain, and the first stable TMS devices were developed in 1985. So that's not too long ago. That's, you know, 3 years before me and Danny started walking this earth.
Wow.
But they were originally intended as a diagnostic to research devices, with evaluation of their therapeutic potential being a later development. The United States FDA first approved TMS devices in October of 2008. So this is fresh.
Yeah, but what's fascinating is it's been out for over a decade, and mm-hmm. yet it's still not commonly used.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
still not commonly prescribed.
Do you think it also, you know, just as a more general discussion, do you think it's because, you know, like you have been the person who have kind of taught me about TMS, and before you brought it up, I never heard about it. But even just the description, until like you were like, no, this is how it works, it does seem like, I think because of the way electroshock therapy was used, I think it makes it harder for people to like wrap their brains around it. Do you feel that way, or do you think it's just not enough people know about it?
I think it's because, and I was watching, you know, preparing for this, I was watching Sykes talk about it, and I think it's because they're not trained in it. I think a lot of times traditional, if you look at professors that have been around for decades now, this was not in their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing that we see in the chronic illness community dealing with autoimmune disorders. There's so much emerging science. And yet it's your responsibility, I would say, as a doctor to continue to learn. You're never done learning, and good doctors know that, but not all of them operate that way. And so I think the first line of defense is always prescription medication, and which I totally understand and get. But when that's not working, it's normally not always in their textbook. I feel like when I was being treated for autoimmune, for even my Hashimoto's, it was like, oh, you just take a pill, you take a thyroid pill. And I'm like, well, this isn't working. I need alternative treatments on top of this. And so if they're not constantly searching for new information, I think that's why. And they talked about that openly in some of the interviews that I watched, is that it's just, that's not necessarily, not all psychs do TMS or recommend TMS.
Also, let's talk about the pharmaceutical industry.
I know.
That's a big thing. And I got to see.
Oh, Ify, you're going to disappear next week. Don't talk about it.
But it's so interesting because I used to work, one of my early jobs is I used to be a receptionist at a doctor's office. And I remember every week, like it was either like a Wednesday or Thursday, it was real good because we wouldn't have to bring lunch, because some pharmaceutical company is going to come and they buy us lunch. And it took me a while to realize that they're essentially trying to butter the office up so the doctor can specifically use their prescription.
Yes.
And when you think of it that way, when you really think of it from the inside out that way, you're like, when you think of it, they're not prescribing you based on like necessarily what they feel is best. I think the doctors have the best one in mind, especially the one that I worked for. I will say, he totally was like, yeah, they're just trying to get me to buy it, but I like what I like, but I'll always say yes to free lunch. So shout out to him. But other doctors, you know, if you're getting wined and dined and someone's really taking care of you, quote unquote, then now you're prescribing based on that and not necessarily what is best. And it's funny that you said that, how you're like, good doctors are staying ahead of the curve, because, you know, it's very similar in a way to like computer science and IT. But the only difference is, if you don't stay ahead of the curve, you just become obsolete. Like, you're not a good IT if you're not constantly learning. Where doctors, there's so much, you know, history, medical history, that they can kind of get by being like, no, this has worked for the longest, so we're going to try this. Unfortunately, though, if that doesn't work, then you're kind of just, you know, it's a whole thing. That could be a whole long discussion that I'm sure Danny has lots and lots and lots of thoughts, because you got a multiple whammy. You got the whammy of having chronic illness, which is hard to get the doctors to even understand you. Then as a woman, it's hard to get doctors to believe you. Then as a woman of color, it's even like, it's just like three strikes of doctors just not taking your word for it. And the closest I've got to that, which in the one time it happened, which it was really frustrating, was like when I was at the dentist and I was like, hey, it's not numb enough. And because I'm this big black dude, they're like, no, you're good. And just almost when I almost jumped out the chair and knocked him out, not trying to hit him, I'm just like a jerk because he did go. He finally did it. But it's like I had to experience pain for you to listen to me. You just were so sure. It's so... The frustration is real. And
it is. I was going to say, as far as staying ahead of the curve, there is a huge community on Reddit as when it comes to electric magnetic stimulation. Now, I will say, please do not do this. There is an entire, you know what I'm going to say, iffy. People have built their own. And I watched videos on it, and a lot of people swear by it. Here's the thing, though, with the placement, which we're going to get into, because these are specifically placed. As Neil said, they have to measure your head and place it in a certain specific area. If you mess up that area and you're just a little bit off, it can make it worse. It can make things worse for you. You can be exhausted. You could be more depressed. You could, like, it's just not, just go and get it done, especially now that most insurances will cover it. I want to say, since insurance companies are shady, I have no problem saying this. And that is when they say, when my insurance company was like, oh, you have to have 4 failed treatments. It's, proclaimed or whatever that is. So I messed up by telling them that I didn't, but they don't go back and check because I don't even remember some of my doctors that I had years ago. So that's just a little heads up for people that they don't check if you've had 4. Now people are gonna be like, that's irresponsible, whatever. Again, being someone that has a chronic illness, sometimes you have to play the game because the game's being played on you. So
yeah.
Speaking on that, we have to go and take a quick break. I want to say before we hop into more, I am not a licensed professional. I am just a patient who has been in the mental health care community for years now. And I also, as you know, Iffy, I worked in cardiac rehab. So I did actually work in a hospital. My training is in kinesiology. That's what I have my bachelor's from Texas in. University of Texas.
I like that you specify that it's from Texas. Like, I got my bachelor's from Texas.
Well, the University of Texas is very hard to get into. They only take the top 8. If you are in Texas, if you go to a public school in Texas, you get automatic exception into the school if you're in the top 8% of your class. So it is one of the best business schools, one of the best it's a really great school. It also has a ton of money that's funneled into it for sports that makes us a lot of money, and all the Nike and Gatorade and whatever. We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna hop into more TMS right after this.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
iHeart Podcast Awards 2023 Podcast of the Year, Las Culturistas, with SNL's Bowen Yang and comedian Matt Rogers.
There's stuff happening in 2024 that we really need to address.
Pop culture and huge guests, like the latest episode with
Dua Lipa.
The more I think about it, the more scared and nervous I get.
Listen to the newest episode of Las Culturistas with Dua Lipa and all episodes on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Las Culturistas to start listening.
We are back. We're still talking about TMS, diving into some nerdy brain science. And so how does this work? What was all the goggly goop that I was talking about? Just throwing around electrodes and magnets and brain. So essentially, an electromagnetic coil is placed against your scalp near your forehead. Now, they literally measure this. They actually, for me, if I remember when they were doing it, they kind of test it. It's supposed to make your finger twitch. I think specifically your... So either your index or your, it was supposed to make one of your fingers twitch. And then they knew that they hit the right spot for you, which on everybody is different depending on your head. And I have a huge head. So the electromagnetic painlessly delivers a magnetic pulse that stimulates nerve cells in the region of your brain involved in mood control and depression. So what was fascinating to me, Neil, I think if we had continued that Joe Rogan interview, he, I think, actually did it for 30 minutes, which is how they used to do it. Now they've had advancements where I only did it for 3 minutes. So I only came in, like, I was in and out within 15 minutes. Like, they strapped the thing on my head. They made sure it was in the correct placement. Once they have the correct placement for you, they keep your cap, like, with your name on it, with your placements, so they can just put it on your head every time and check. They still checked and made sure that my finger would twitch, you know, that they had it in the right spot.
Yeah.
Especially me having as much hair as I do. So yeah, it was only 3 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes, I think. And what was fascinating is they did one side for depression and then they did another side for anxiety. And my anxiety was only 15 seconds. So they would just do that for 15 seconds and then stop. So it's different for everyone depending on where you're at. Though the biology of why TMS works isn't completely understood. This is from the Mayo Clinic. Mm-hmm. The stimulation appears to impact how the brain is working, which in turn seems to ease depression symptoms and improve mood. Now, the difference between Neil and I that I talked to him about is he was also on a medication while he did it, and I was not. So I was going raw in, but that sounded aggressive.
Yeah,
my psych was like, it would be more beneficial if you were on an antidepressant, so it just raises your baseline.
Yeah.
But for me, because of the side effects of the antidepressant, it was not. I would rather have just done TMS. TMS was my antidepressant.
Yeah.
Like Neil and Joe were saying, it's similar to an MRI. The magnetic field is about the same strength as an MRI, and the pulse generally reaches no more than 5 centimeters into the brain. You don't have, it's not, I don't want to say it's painful, but it is, it does feel like if someone had a long nail and was repeatedly tapping your head, it gets sore.
Oh,
that so sounds... the next day, what were you going to say?
That sounds intense.
Yes, it gets sore because you're doing it repeatedly. So the first day it feels like, okay, someone's just tapping my head. But if someone taps the same spot on your head, by the fifth day, it's going to be a little sore.
Oh yeah.
However, it's not, you know, It's not like super painful or anything. I would say a common side effect that I never really had is having a headache after. That's common. And then also fatigue that I did have because you're stimulating your brain. It's kind of like if you were to do an intense, like, do you get headaches ever, or do you feel fatigued after you have like an intense gaming session where it feels like you were using your brain to?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, what's cool about TMS is that it's not just also depression. It seems like they've shown, you know, potential with neurologic conditions such as Alzheimer's, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, persistent vegetative states, epilepsy, stroke-related disabilities, tinnitus, multiple sclerosis, schizophrenia, and traumatic brain traumatic brain injury. So this is, you know, kind of remarkable that it's pretty great. And I'm almost excited to see where it goes from here because, you know, like it said, FDA approved it in 2008. So we're about 12 years in. So, you know, what's more to come, you know?
Yeah, it's actually very common with PTSD. So I would say it's up there. The amount of people who are prescribed it for depression, I would say PTSD is also up there. Nice. And for me, it did, as far as how I felt after, I felt immediately better right after, but then that kind of fades away, which is why I would say the typical treatment is about 6 weeks with people returning for boosters, as my psych would call them, like after, you know, it's supposed to last for the year, but some people need it again after 3 months after doing a 6 week treatment. They need, you know, 3 to 6 months, they need to come back in. What I did want to say is the cost, which we're still dealing with. I mean, drugs, treatment in general is just absurd in this country.
Straight up.
My people worked with me. I think it was for 6 weeks, I think I paid like $4,000. And again, this is somebody that needed it. It says a single TMS session for depressive disorders averages about $350, and you're doing 5 sessions a week. A full course of treatment could cost between $6,000 to $12,000, depending on the number of treatments. Again, a lot of insurances do cover it. Yeah. However, it should be the same as my depression medicine, right? My depression medicine, I think, is like $10 to $20. And this is technically a treatment for depression.
Yeah.
It is wild that it would cost that much, especially at a lot of these psych places. They have the machine already. They bought the machine. They have it. Most of them are willing to work with your budget in some type of way because, again, they want to help.
Yeah.
We are lucky to be in Los Angeles where there are multiple TMS places. I know other states is probably not because, again, it's still relatively, I don't want to say it's new. It's just not as accepted and common.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about what it's like when you go in.
Yes, please.
So before treatment begins, your doctor will need to identify the best place to put the magnets on your head and the best dose of magnetic energy for you. So that's another thing. So Neil's dose is going to be different than my dose. Again, they're placing it, they're trying to find the right spot and they will keep moving it around. They're kind of like little zaps on your head.
Yeah.
I like to think of it as like the pimple zapper or whatever. Like it's just a little boop, little zap on your head and they'll put it in the spot that they think it should go and they keep turning it up again until your finger moves. But I have had other areas of my body twitch. Like I think my shoulder, I think twitched once and like, yeah. So your doctor will determine the amount of magnetic energy needed by increasing the magnetic dose until your fingers or hands twitch. That's known as your motor threshold. And that's used as a reference point in determining the right dose. So during each treatment, I'm going to see, I know Neil posted a picture of himself. I have a picture of myself. So I'll see about posting it. It's really a vulnerable thing, you know, when you're doing treatment. I think I sent you a picture. Do you remember that, Iffy, when I had
like this? Yeah, it was way back when. Yeah.
Yeah, it was wild. I think I sent it to Roy Wood Jr. because we had just sold the show that I did for HBO Max on depression in the mental health care system. So I'm definitely going to have TMS, hopefully in our show.
Yeah.
But I remember sending that to him. You're in essentially a doctor's chair that looks like a dentist chair. You're like, lean back. Another thing that they have is typically in the offices, they have Netflix up. So you can watch Netflix while you're doing it. Yeah. But it's funny to me, it would be different for, like I say, Neil's, which was like 30 minutes, because you can actually watch an episode of something. Mine was like 3 minutes. And I was like, what is the point?
Yeah.
It was really funny because I came in, I'm going to get crap for this, but I came in and somebody, whoever was in front of me was watching Ricky Gervais. And I was like, I feel this will make me feel worse.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll just have a negative connotation with TMS.
Exactly. I think it's really funny. Like, are you going to watch The Sopranos while you're getting TMS? Like, what are people choosing to watch? I always have them turn it off because I just wanted a moment of calmness, I think, when I was doing it. Or I'll have them put on one of the things on the TV settings is just like a meditative, you know, screensaver type of water, the ocean. So they do have that even at mine, even though it was only 3 minutes long. You can start 3 minutes. Well, I think how they did it is if you were watching something, like whoever was watching the Ricky Gervais special, it was saved at whatever they left off. So when they came in the next day, they can watch another 3 minutes.
You really just keep chunking along. I feel like that's the best way to ingest that special. Is
just 3 minutes.
Taking
bits.
3 minutes. Yeah.
Quibi should have made 3 minute episodes for people that have TMS. Okay. So you're sitting in this dentist chair. They give you earplugs. They give you earplugs, which I never needed. I just didn't like using them. And then when the machine is turned on, you hear clicking sounds that are tapping your head. Again, this is from the Mayo Clinic. It'll last about 40 minutes. Mine was not that. My psych had a different treatment. So mine was much shorter. And then you can go about your day. You can drive yourself home. You know, I found this sweet spot where I worked out before I did it. So I had all of these endorphins going. And then I would go to my treatment. I would drive over from the gym and do my treatment. I do not sweat and work out as hard as you, Iffy. So it was more, something like I wasn't all sweaty going in there. I would go over and then do it. And it would be like a massive boost where I remember one day I was driving to the post office and I was so happy. I was like, is this how people feel that don't have depression? It was wild. It was kind of like Jabuki's tweet where it was like, wow, people aren't on antidepressants. So you're just like raw dogging the world. Like you're just walking through life, like just raw. Like, you know, we kind of have like a protective filter, I feel like, with medicine. And so
yeah,
doing that combo though, I remember I was on a high. I had like a high when I was leaving and I was like, I can't believe that I could feel like this all the time.
Yeah. That's so dope.
Now, afterwards, it did kind of wear off and I didn't see immediate results. I would say, you know, a nice thing is that my psych checked in with me constantly asking like, okay, well, if you're feeling okay, we can increase your dose. We can increase your voltage if you're not having any side effects, if you're not having headaches. Yeah. But I, you know, it's up and down. What I really want to say as we're covering Mental Health May and all of these different treatments is it's a learning process and it's an ever evolving process. Depending on what's happening in your life, you might need something else. So for me, I just think of myself as a guinea pig where I'm like, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this. I'm going to keep trying things until I just, you know, get into the place that I want to be, but I'll probably go back to TMS, but I don't think it's like a cure-all. I don't think it's like, oh, I'll do this for 6 weeks one time and then my lifelong generational trauma is just solved.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's a good break from it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's again, and also if you can get it covered, I think it's a great treatment to try, you know, constantly just try. And Neil said it saved his life, right? So he was, same with me, like he was in a suicidal episode where ketamine didn't work for him. Ketamine made me feel worse, to be honest, doing clinical ketamine. Again, I did not do it. I didn't do Special K from like a dealer. I did clinical ketamine under the supervision of a doctor in a doctor's office.
Yeah.
And so it saved his life. So he's, you know, and I am here and other people that have done it are here because we, during this suicidal depressive episode, chose to do TMS.
Yeah, that's dope.
On that note, we're going to take another break. Hopefully not getting too heavy. We're going to jump more into this electromagnetic stimulation and then talk about the future of it right after this.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
iHeart Podcast Awards 2023 Podcast of the Year, Las Culturistas, with SNL's Bowen Yang and comedian Matt Rogers.
There's stuff happening in 2024 that we really need to address.
Pop culture and huge guests, like the latest episode with
Dua Lipa!
The more I think about it, the more scared and nervous I get.
Listen to the newest episode of Las Culturistas with Dua Lipa and all episodes on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Las Culturistas to start listening.
Welcome back to Nerdificent. I'm Iffy Wadiways, sitting across from me digitally, Danny Fernandez, and we're talking about TMS today. And if you don't know what that is, that's transcranial magnetic stimulation. Something Danny knows about, we've been talking about, we went through the history and all of that. You know, I think, you know, Danny, when we went to break, said she forgot to give this disclaimer. That seems like a no-brainer, but we're going to say it anyway. Obviously, transcranial magnetic stimulation is, you can't do it if you have a metal plate in your head. Not no bueno, but
yeah, there's a couple of other contraindications. Like, you can't do it if you're I don't know if pregnant people can do it. Your doctor will definitely talk to you about it. They will not let you do it. Just make sure that you're super open with them about anything, even stuff that you're feeling afterwards. Obviously, if you have like side effects, let them know, keep them abreast. Oh, and this is just in general. If you have side effects with your medicine, please keep your doctor abreast of them. I think I was dealing with a lot of fatigue with a certain antidepressant I was on. It just felt like even if I had an energy drink, I couldn't fully wake up. It was just kind of like I was in a daze. And I told my doctor about it. And so we switched, but I think a lot of people just accept it. And yeah. I would say you never know what other medicine is out there. So definitely keep them abreast of your, because they were like, oh, well, that's not helpful. They want you to feel your best, especially if it's a medicine that you're taking every day. Ooh. So definitely this is just for Mental Health May. Let them know about your side effects, check in with them, email them, talk to them. You should be, you know, in contact with the person that is essentially prescribing you things for your brain and your life, you know?
Yeah.
So keep them abreast.
Keep them abreast. Danny has been choosing some choices of words this episode. I feel
I'm
like
trying to be careful.
The teen is getting to her. The teen is we're saying abreast. She said going in raw. I'm like, Danny.
Well, you mentioned ECT, and I kind of just wanted to follow up and talk about the difference really quick between ECT and TMS. Yeah. So ECT is electroconvulsive therapy, and it is different in that it essentially intentionally causes a series of generalized seizures. Mm. Now, TMS does not do that. ECT is administered in a hospital setting. TMS is also done that or at your doctor's office. But because the treatment is designed to cause a series of generalized seizures, patients are given muscle relaxants to prevent damage to muscles and bones during seizures. Some studies, which we will link, I think super producer Joelle has one for us that's from Psychiatric Times. some studies that they have done have shown ECT to be more effective. Now, to me, it sounds much more, I guess the word that's coming up is traumatic, than TMS, which doesn't involve inducing seizures. So that seems to be a more serious, intense treatment. However, it is an option and has helped other people. So I think as long as you're under the supervision of a doctor, definitely just talk it out. Like, they're, you know, these treatments are not for everybody. But as far as TMS, there are very, very small side effects, I would say, and nothing really serious that I have found or that my psychiatrist has found.
So you said it's completely painless, right? This whole procedure?
I want to say TMS feels like somebody tapping your head repeatedly. So it feels like a finger tapping your head. I want to say
it's really like a, would you describe it as like a small thump, as if you're like,
what? No, it feels like somebody that has fake nails is like tapping, but like it feels more sore than anything. You know, those like, and other people with TMS will probably be like, that's not what it feels like at all. The studies have said like, it's pretty much painless. For me, it just felt sore. It feels like if someone with fake nails is poking your skin, and they just like, at first it's like, yeah, I can handle that. But then if they're doing it repeatedly, it starts to get a little like tender is the word I would use in that area. That's what it feels like. And it's just a tiny, but it does feel like a mix between a zap and a tap.
Okay. Another thing I want to say is this is more, because we've talked about this obviously while you were doing the treatment, but sometimes you would kind of be like exhausted and fatigued after some of these treatments. Was that something that you felt from the beginning, or is it after so many treatments you felt like, okay, now like it starts to wear on you?
I think it just depended on the day, but it definitely did. I definitely did feel fatigued certain days. It's kind of like that feeling when you have a lot of caffeine and then you're tired after.
Yeah.
So that wasn't permanent and didn't happen all the time, but definitely sometimes and here's the thing, my psych and I were very much in communication. So she actually let me come in the afternoons, which they have been doing studies on at different universities as far as people doing it twice a day. Because I was having no ill side effects, she allowed me to come in for free and do an afternoon one, because I think I just needed an extra boost. Again, I've done a lot of things to try to treat my depression, and you know, she was like, okay, if you're not having any negative side effects, I feel okay with you coming in and doing this for this allotted amount of time. So I actually did it twice a day.
Oh, I think another question I might have is, so, you know, someone might be listening to this and they're kind of on the fence of whether or not they should have it. Do you have any like words of wisdom that you said, like, you should definitely consider it if this, or if not this, that, or the third?
A couple of things. You can always call and talk to someone on the phone. They always do free consultations. So you can look up TMS. If it's not in your immediate area, it may be worth investing in still. And we're talking about people that have tried multiple avenues to cure their depression. So a lot of times when you've hit this one, you're really desperate. And you, again, like we said last episode, you kind of would do anything to treat it. And when, not in the same vein, but when my uncle was trying to battle, he had stomach cancer. My aunt would drive him almost 2 hours to the treatment place because they just wanted the best treatment for him. So I understand that not everyone has that option, but it might be worth looking into if even a place is, you know, farther away from you. Definitely have a consultation though and talk to them about it. I am not a licensed professional. I am just somebody who has done a lot of these treatments who can speak in the same way that Neil or other people with large platforms have spoken about it saving their life. So if this saves somebody's life, then I feel that I've, you know, helped in some way. But again, I am constantly, next week we're covering EMDR, which is something else I've done, which other people have been, maybe I'll get some writers and stuff to talk about it, but other people have been very vocal of how it's helped them. So I think one thing that I would say, if you're like me and you're just trying all these different things, to know that it's okay to constantly, you know, like Dr. Ehrlichman said last episode, it can be a lifetime of healing. And technology is constantly changing. So I have had many times where I've wanted to give up, but luckily staying in contact with my psychs and my therapists, it's like, let's keep trying, Danny. Let's keep working at this and finding something that works for you.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to instill that in people, that there is hope. There's constantly, you know, and on top of that, I was still doing talk therapy. I feel talk therapy is something I'm always going to have to do, but it doesn't hit everywhere that it needs to necessarily for some of us. So that's why some of these other treatments on top of doing talk therapy can be beneficial.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that everyone should be doing talk to therapy. I think we were talking about that a little last week where you're just surprised. I think just we as human beings hold in so much because there's so much of this suck it up mentality. And really, the more you kind of break it down and look into it, it's just people want you to carry not only your own burdens, but then when it comes time, carry their burden. It's a very selfishness that has been amplified in a weird way with so much social media. I just look at it the same way where, like, just mere weeks from yelling at people to just obey the law and somehow trying to make it, a person of color's fault, they're killed by the police, they're now outside trying to disobey the law for the stay-at-home orders simply because they don't agree with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even because there's any noble reason. So that just kind of, I don't know, it like really just, I guess it's something I always knew, but it really just kind of highlighted how much it is true that people don't necessarily believe in rules or expect rules. It's more so just that. And I think the same goes for mental health and on a societal level. We just think we have to bear this burden. We don't want to, especially a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to bug you. Depressed people feel so much that they have to take care of others and not themselves, and often forget to put their mask on first. And that's why you need to talk to somebody, because you'd be surprised how simply talking and letting how you feel and how you think you make other people feel off your chest will just lift you up. And then I think Danny's really hitting something home that I want everyone to know, is just like, if that doesn't work, don't give up. Just keep trying. There are treatments. Don't give up. Keep trying. There, just keep fighting. You're better here.
So. Well, yes. And I wanted to say that goes for therapists too. Mm-hmm. Some therapists I've clicked with, some therapists I have left and never made another appointment. Therapists to me are like doctors. They're not perfect. They're, you know, some of them are limited in their understanding. A lot of times it's equated to dating, to like finding the right therapist for you. I do want to say, if you find someone and you're like, oh, this is not working for me, find someone else. You know, you're paying them. Again, that's how I feel about doctors. When you're like, how do you deal with not being listened to? I'm like, oh, I'm just not going to see you anymore. You're not listening to me. You're not doing it for me. And I'm giving you money every week. Like, I'm not going to do that. So, definitely don't give up on your search. And I know that that's really hard when people are like, keep getting help. And it's like, I'm exhausted. It's kind of like I said last week, a lot of times I'm just exhausted from trying to heal myself. And so you have to take time out. I think even if it's time out from doing therapy or time out from seeking treatment, it's just like, I can't put myself through another thing one more time. So taking that time off and just kind of, letting your family know and your friends know. And again, letting your therapist know. I let my therapist know, like I said last week, I do not want to do this. And she was like, okay.
Yeah.
you know, and she respected that because I've put in so much work.
Yeah.
So one other thing I wanted to say, Iffy, when you were like, it's so much easier for us to help other people. One thing that has helped me in my healing is viewing myself as a third person.
Mm.
And it's wild how much easier that is to help myself.
Oh yeah.
So with my depression, when I was suicidal, it was like, what can we do to help Danny? This is our homework. Today, we need to find a therapist for Danny. We need to figure out, we're not going to give up on her. I even think of myself sometimes as little Danny. I'm like, well, little Danny, I imagine the little girl who was like bullied and having a hard time, like in middle school. And it was like, well, she had dreams. She had things that she wanted to do. Am I going to give up on her? No, I think that this little Danny who has survived so much deserves a great life. So I'm not going to give up on her. And then I'll think of future Danny. And I'm like, future Danny has so many things she's going to accomplish. Am I really going to cut her life short and not allow her to do that? No, but it was so much easier to see myself as a third person and helping this third person than like current Danny. It's wild.
Wow. Wow. I think that's the perfect note to go out on. So Danny, where can people find you?
I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez on all the things. Please be compassionate, I guess, with Iffy and I. You know, we're trying to tackle these subjects. We will have licensed professionals on for some of these episodes like we did last week and hopefully next week. But again, I'm just trying to speak from my experience. I'm not perfect. I'm very flawed. If I recommended something, you know, again, speak to a licensed professional. Yeah. But I hope that this just opened your mind as far as what other people are doing to treat depression and PTSD.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying for this and last week's and future episodes. If there are any like very technical questions that you have for some of the things we talked about in as it pertains to you specifically, that's going to be a conversation with a licensed professional. If you want to kind of relate on shared experiences, then that's something we can talk about with you online. But when it comes for like, do you think for me or I'm experiencing this? Yeah, we're going to always have you. If you do ask us, we will say, hey, you're going to have to talk to your therapist about that because we are not licensed professionals. Just want to say that this is just a conversation based on the data that's out there and Danny's personal experience. We wish we could give you that info, but it would be irresponsible for us to even try. So shout out to that. And as for me, if you Wadi Way, Twitter and Instagram, if these on Twitch, Super Punch Monday through Friday. I will see you, and like you always say on this pod, stay nerdy.
And stay healthy.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
iHeart Podcast Awards 2023 Podcast of the Year, Las Culturistas, with SNL's Bowen Yang and comedian Matt Rogers.
There's stuff happening in 2024 that we really need to address.
Pop culture and huge guests like the latest episode with
Dua Lipa.
The more I think about it, the more scared and nervous I get.
Listen to the newest episode of Las Culturistas with Dua Lipa and all episodes on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Las Culturistas to start listening.